Hi, friends. A quick reminder that this podcast, Sidecar with Jen Coleslaw, is currently being pushed out on two feeds. If you're listening to this on the Two Chocolate Cakes feed, please be reminded that by the end of June, fingers crossed, Sidecar will only be pushed out on the Sidecar Podcast with Jen Coleslaw feed. So please go find that on your app and follow it so that you don't miss any new episodes. This will allow me to push out new Two Chocolate Cakes episodes on the Two Chocolate Cakes feed. Message me on Twitter at Jen Coleslaw or by email at twochocolatecakes@gmail.com if you are having trouble finding the Sidecar Podcast with Jen Coleslaw feed in your podcast app. Thanks for your support. Hi, and welcome to the Cake Adjacent Podcast, a once a week-ish update on all things food, family, community, gardening, whatever. We call it Sidecar. If it has to do with the rituals around food and holidays, making food or taking it places, or remembering what we were eating during important times in our lives, we'll talk about it here. I am your host and bestie, Jen Coleslaw, coming to you from the soulless suburbs of Northern Virginia. Hi, friends. Yet another late podcast, and for that I apologize. Way too many things on my plate these days, and you think that summer is the slow time of year, but it is not. And there was tennis and Tour de France on the TV this past week, and now Women's World Cup football. Sometimes you just have too much going on, and it is really easy to be distracted, isn't it? But something has been weighing heavy on my heart these days. And I mean, a lot of things do, a lot of the time. But I cannot stop thinking about this. So you know that I live in Northern Virginia, which is a very wealthy region. Not to say that everyone is wealthy. In fact, a lot of people barely scrape by living paycheck to paycheck. But it's just that their paychecks might be a little bit bigger than what they are in, say, Alabama or Mississippi. But housing costs are a lot more here, commutes are a lot longer, and it can be hard to live here. Everything costs money to do things with your kids, even at the parks, and it can be very hard to thrive here. So we were going somewhere. We were in the car. We were coming home from somewhere on a Wednesday late afternoon, and there's this line of cars at one of the churches, and not just a line of cars. It was cars circling the church's huge parking lot and church at least three times. It had to be at least 2 miles worth of cars. And then there were a few people just standing in between those cars with knapsacks or tote bags. And then we saw the big light-up board at the church. And it was food parcel day at the food bank at church. And I can't get that image of all of those cars circling the church three times around out of my head. It haunts me. And that happens every week. And just at that church, there are food pantries and food banks all over the area. How are we as a society letting so many people go hungry to rely on food pantries and food banks to feed their family in the richest country in the world and one of the wealthiest counties in the country? And I just don't know what to do with this heavy heart when we pass all those cars on Wednesday afternoons waiting in line to get their food bags, except to keep adding food to the box at the front of the store when we go shopping and participating in the Stuff the Bus program that my work county does several times a year. But I really feel like that's not enough. There are just so many things that are fixable and yet out of our hands. People need food. Give it to them. Do you know how much food is thrown away every single day at grocery stores and restaurants? Literally tons, every day. There are some great food recovery programs out there, and we have a good one here. But of course, it's nonprofit. And honestly, these are all things that should be funded by our tax dollars, because a fit and fed society is a fit and free society. Our neighbors should not have to rely on the kindness of strangers in order to live and to thrive. They shouldn't have to have a medical GoFundMe accounts to pay for care for their cancer or their long COVID or their kids' devastating bike accidents. They shouldn't have to borrow sick leave days from colleagues when they exhaust their own leave due to illness. That is just perverse. And they shouldn't have to get off work at 5 p.m. and then go wait in an hours-long line for donated food at the church on Wednesday nights. So anyway, sometimes I get something stuck in my head and it's hard for me to work around it. And these last few weeks, it has been that miles-long line for food in my community. And the result of this preoccupation is that I'm finding it difficult to come up with compelling podcast topics. So my friend Kelly suggested that I look back on some older podcasts and give some updates on some things that I might have talked about but left unresolved. So I went back to July of last year to see what I was complaining about then, which may not have been the best idea. But the good news is that I was complaining about how overgrown the garden was and how it was making me sad, and this year it's in much better shape. I mean, we basically had to pay $9,000 to get rid of some of the bindweed during the big sewer line replacement, but I'd say it was worth it. It's been pretty hot here, as it has been pretty much everywhere in the summer. Hey-o, climate change! But the spring was so perfectly cool that some things that are really hard to grow normally did quite well, like the cucumbers, which prefer much cooler weather. I probably got a dozen small pickling cukes, and they're still growing. Although I suspect in this hot and humid weather, that might be the end of them. But if they manage to drag their sorry vines through the next month, they might start producing all the way till frost, and that would be kind of awesome. The tomatoes have done really well too, especially the orange ones for some reason. I have no idea why. I like the orange ones best because they're lower in acid. Tomatoes love warm days and cool nights, and here in Virginia, we rarely have cool nights in the summer. And in fact, we've gotten enough tomatoes of different sizes out of the garden, so many that I've not been able to eat them faster than they go bad. Hot peppers, though, no joy there. I got 2 hot peppers out of the garden yesterday. Normally, we'd have a lot. That's usually our big producer. But it hasn't been really hot until recently. So maybe they'll start producing because they really like it hot and dry. We are not seeing them at the farmer's market either, although I wrote this yesterday, Saturday, and today is Sunday, and I did see some at the farmer's market this morning, so they are starting to come around. I didn't rally and get any beans in the ground, which is too bad because they're easy and rewarding, but there are only so many hours in the day, and all the hours spent outside are also spent with like 1 million mosquitoes. Fun fact, and I don't know if it's actually a fact or just a coincidence, but when I get mosquito bites on the left side of my torso, where I had the cancer and I had lymph nodes taken out, I have a much more severe reaction. So I don't know if that's a thing or what. But also on this day, which was yesterday, last year, my friend Pete Burr, who had been a friend of mine in college and a friend of Patrick's independently of each other before we ever knew each other, just an extraordinary human and a musician with a big heart and personality, and absolutely my favorite bartender at the Decatur, and whose dad had been one of my theater professors in college, who helped me gently realize that while I had the enthusiasm for musical theater, I most assuredly did not have the talent, which is why I have degrees in writing and public administration. Anyway, on this day last year, Pete let go of all of us and drifted away after a long, steady dive down a bottle. The pandemic and the isolation killed him. Really, the alcohol was just the delivery system. And in a week, it'll be 4 years since my childhood bestie, Lynn Ellen, who shared her family with me when mine was broken and angry and sometimes violent, left this world the same way as Pete: organ failure, infection, complications due to alcohol abuse. But while I understand what happened to Pete was mostly because of the pandemic, I never knew what caused Lynn Ellen to choose to keep drinking after the doctor told her if she didn't quit, it would kill her. Her sister told me that she acknowledged that and she chose death, leaving us all behind. Her mother, whose birthday was 2 days ago, who was in many ways my savior and rescuer, the person who loved me unconditionally when I was growing up and as an adult, would never really recover and followed a little over a year later. And as you remember, she was my mother's best friend, and I sure wish I could talk to her about Mom these days. So I guess what I'm saying is something I've mentioned before. When I'm struggling and feeling all the feels and my health is suffering with constant headaches or trouble sleeping, I have to look at the calendar and remember what has been going on at this time of the year in the past and do an inventory of sad events, I guess. These memories have settled into my cells of my very being like a dormant virus that reactivates right on schedule. I don't pretend to understand it. I just know it happens, and it catches me off guard every goddamn time. And that two-mile-long line of cars at the food bank every Wednesday just reminds me of the people who have slipped from my grasp, who have let me go, who have parted this life of suffering. And please don't misunderstand. I would never want anyone to stay for me or continue to suffer. That is so far from my worldview. But it serves to remind me how little I was able to ease their suffering, how I wasn't able to say goodbye, how much I miss them. These are the ones that bubbled up to the surface, but there are so many. My stepfather's death, and then 20 days later, his birth date, the selling of my house in Providence, the death of Ben's grandmother who loved me even though half the family thinks that I'm a bona fide witch. These memories stack up and are like compounding interest of heaviness, and they shook me with my their ability to drop me to my knees. If given the opportunity to not feel so deeply, would I take it? Yeah, maybe. Maybe I would. It's hard to feel this deeply sometimes. And I think that my house would be a lot less cluttered for sure. Anyway, a lot of this is also coming from this tragic event in our community where the vet office is and where I have become quite protective and feel a lot of affection for this little downtown of Warrington. A local business owner my age and by all accounts one of the nicest human beings ever, a bakery owner who supplied food banks and pantries with fresh bread during the pandemic, who could always be counted on for a job or for donations and support, who started a popular farmer's market, just a stand-up guy, was killed in a car accident this week, and the entire town is mourning that loss. But what I'll say is this kind of silver lining is that they can collectively mourn that loss now. There have been flowers left at his bakery and signs posted in the windows of his store on Main Street, and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of Facebook comments, all with stories about some lovely thing that Pablo did for someone. There's a GoFundMe for his funeral expenses that has already exceeded the goal in just 2 days, and all of the neighbor stores are planning an event for him, like a wake, on Monday, and that lightens my heart to see the community coming together to honor and say goodbye to this cherished and treasured member of the community. I wish I had known him. I felt like I did know him reading all these comments. I believe that these sorts of rituals are so important, and I spoke about it at length when the Queen of England died, and we are still broken from not being able to do it during the pandemic. And in some ways, I wonder if this is why my mother is the way she is, partially because we did not have any kind of event when my stepfather died, and she was not able to get even the smallest amount of closure. I mean, I know I haven't. Okay, but one other thing from last year's podcast at this time was that I was going to try to list 3 good things every podcast, and you think we know that that didn't last very long. So let me try that again. 1, Catherine sent me a picture of her lemon tree, which my dad gave to her years and years ago, and she has kept it going and thriving, and she actually grows lemons on it. And then she grows more lemon trees from the lemon seeds, and her tree currently has over 20 lemons on it. And this gives me immense joy. She gave me a tiny lemon tree grown from a lemon from that tree, but the cats ate it, interestingly enough. So she's going to grow another one, but let it get bigger so it can defend itself before she gives it to me. And hopefully the cats won't kill that one. The cantaloupe at the farmer's market has been delicious. They look terrible, though, but they taste great. Maybe we'll get some corn this weekend. Spoiler alert, the weekend has already happened. We did not get corn, but I did get some more peaches. And three, we have managed to fix the pool chemistry. The pool is, I am almost afraid to say it out loud, finally swimmable. But I have been avoiding going in because my nose is still healing. I can't believe it's been, 2 months? But I am not going to dunk my head underwater, but I'm going in that goddamn pool. In other household news, Rufus, our rescued golden retriever, had his first heartworm treatment at the beginning of the month, and he's doing pretty well. He was very well behaved for me while Ben was out of town, but now that Ben is home, he's very bouncy again. Rufus, that is, not Ben. Ben does not get bouncy. He'll get his next two shots back to back, and that's no pun intended, on the 7th and 8th of August, so think good thoughts for him. And then 30 more days of crate rest, and then hopefully he'll get another heartworm test and it'll be clear and he'll be done. The mosquitoes are so bad here, as I am sure they are everywhere these days. I hope folks have their dogs and their outside cats. Cats can get heartworm too, by the way, on heartworm preventative as well as flea and tick preventative. This is really important. You don't want your dog to go through heartworm treatment. Okay, so here's the thing. At this point in the writing of the podcast yesterday, which was Saturday, I got some devastating news that absolutely broke me, but I cannot share with you just yet. So I'm just going to end the narrative part of the podcast here because I'm just a mess, and I'm just going to go into the food holidays for the week. Okay? By the time you listen to this, which will be sometime Sunday night or later, it may be too late for today, but I give you blanket permission to spread today's food holidays out all week because they are good ones. Chocolate and Peanut Butter Day, which I choose to partake as Reese's Peanut Butter products. It's also Vanilla Ice Cream Day, and on the occasions that I actually go to Cold Stone Creamery, I get sweet cream ice cream, which is basically vanilla, with peanut butter cups mixed in. If I am buying vanilla ice cream at the grocery store, I am almost always getting Breyers Vanilla Bean. That is really one of my favorites. Although Häagen-Dazs makes a very good vanilla ice cream too, it's definitely richer and it's more like a frozen custard. But we'll get to frozen custard later in the week. It's also National Sprinkles Day, and I will tell you where I get my sprinkles from because I do not gatekeep. It is from a company out of Canada called Sweeta Palita. They have great sprinkles, and I love to make my own little blend. In fact, the top level Patreon's got a special little mix of sprinkles in a test tube. Some of them did. A few got returned to me because I didn't put enough postage on because I love using stamps, but I don't know how to add. So sorry about that. I have to resend them. I like to carry emergency sprinkles with me in case I'm ever faced with a really sad dessert. It's like a little indoor fireworks. Monday, July 24th is National Tequila Day, and I think you should all know me well enough by now to know that I'm not a tequila drinker, so I'm going to sub in. I can't find anything that rhymes with tequila, so I'm either just going to keep eating peanut butter cups, or I'm going to have more vanilla ice cream. You know what? I'm going to celebrate Panucci Nut Fudge Day because I missed it because it was yesterday, and yesterday was an absolute abomination, and while fudge won't make it any better, it sure wouldn't make it worse. Anywho, Tuesday, July 25th is Hot Fudge Sunday Day, and I can absolutely get behind this. I love, 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 love hot fudge sundaes. I even love the ones that we get at McDonald's. I should really make some fudge sauce and use the new pressure canner to can it up. Wouldn't that make such a nice little gift? Somebody must have a good recipe. Or I could make like a boozy one. Maybe like a chocolate cherry sauce with brandy. Anyway, I'll have to think about that. Tuesday is also Wine and Cheese Day, and while there are very few wines that I like and none of them are red, I do love cheese. And one of my favorite things in the world is to bake up a brie, either with or without pastry around it, and then just eat it with apples and pears. Just love it. Wednesday is coffee milkshake day, which is easily one of my favorite food holidays of the year, and I know I talk about this all the time, but I feel like you're not listening because I haven't heard anybody tell me that you have gotten one of these and that you loved it. But the frozen custard vanilla shake, so frozen vanilla custard milkshake with a shot of espresso in it that I get from Abbott's Frozen Custard, and I'm willing to bet you can get it at any frozen custard place, is so good. If you have not tried one, but you like frozen custard or ice cream and you drink coffee, I seriously suggest you try it this week. I swear to you, you will never go back to crappy iced coffee after you've had one of these life-affirming elixirs. Thursday is chili cheese hot dog day. And I have to tell you, I went to Sonic for the first time in my life yesterday. Can you believe it? I've never been to Sonic before. They just opened one here in Virginia, like, I want to say it was either just before the pandemic or it may have been actually during the pandemic. But anyway, we didn't have Sonic in New England. And I only got a milkshake because I wasn't hungry, but it was a strawberry milkshake. And it was absolutely one of the very best strawberry milkshakes I've ever had. And it was so full of strawberries, it kept clogging my straw. But I saw that they have chili dogs on the menu, so I will totally go back. I do not like onions on my chili dogs, though, so you might want to make a note of that if you ever have me over for a cookout. It's also National Scotch Day, but as you know, I don't drink scotch, so for those of us who do not drink scotch, let's make it Butterscotch Day. And let me tell you about this butterscotch pudding that used to be on the menu at Trinity Brewhouse in Providence. It's no longer on the menu, but I sure wish I had the recipe. I actually know the owner of Trinity, and I wonder if he has access to the recipe. I will have to ask around. It was so rich and delicious, and it was always kept really cold, too. So it was almost like ice cream, but it was pudding. Anyway, it was served in a mug with a dollop of unsweetened whipped cream, which I thought was a really interesting combination. So it was really just like a dollop of whipped cream, but was unsweetened, and then a little mint leaf. I love butterscotch sauce on ice cream, and I love butterscotch hard candies. I like butterscotch a lot. Big fan. I don't like snickerdoodles, though. I don't know what that's about. Anyway, it's also Chicken Fingers Day, and I will rarely say no to chicken fingers, despite the fact that they are clearly not chicken fingers, since chickens don't have fingers. And it's also creme brulee day, which is my go-to dessert if it's on a menu, because it's really hard to just pull it out of a freezer in a Sysco Foods box. Friday, the 28th of July, is National Milk Chocolate Day, and I dare you, in fact, I double dog dare you to name something that isn't made better by milk chocolate. I'll wait. Saturday is lasagna day. And you know, Trader Joe's used to have the best frozen lasagna, but during the pandemic, they must have had to cut some corners or something because it's not nearly as good anymore. It was absolutely something I would buy when Ben was traveling because I could eat it for four meals. But now it is just so subpar that I haven't bought one in at least a year, which is really too bad because it was a great little lasagna. It was a good price. It was perfect for me to eat while he was away. And that is a struggle point for me to eat healthy when he's away. Like, I could survive for 4 or 5 days just eating potato chips, but I wouldn't be thriving. But you know who makes a great lasagna? My sister Catherine. And there's a Two Chocolate Cakes episode that features her lasagna as a recipe, so you should definitely check it out on the Two Chocolate Cakes feed. Sunday, July 30th, is Cheesecake Day. And I am not too ashamed to admit that I love the cheesecake at Cheesecake Factory. I will eat dinner or lunch there, or even brunch, if it means I get cheesecake afterwards. And the cheesecake is totally one of those desserts, even at decent restaurants, that is often sitting in a Sysco Foods box in the freezer, and the kitchen just drizzles some raspberry syrup or something on it, and then calls it house-made. So never get cheesecake at a restaurant unless that's what they're known for, because it's almost always frozen food service cheesecake. It occurs to me that this is a very dairy heavy week, which is fine with me because I love dairy, but I feel bad for people who are dairy intolerant. But you all can just drink the wine and the scotch and the tequila. Monday, the 31st, big day, the last day of the month. First off, it's Shredded Wheat Day. And who remembers those gigantic bales of shredded wheat? Not the little squares that you could get like two or three on your spoon, but those literal bales that are about the size of our cell phones now. We would soak them in warm milk or warm water first, and then add a little honey or sugar, and then more milk. Not my favorite breakfast in the world, but my mom sure liked it. It's also Jump for Jelly Beans Day, and jelly beans are definitely one of my favorite treats, with Brock's Jelly Beans being my favorite brand. We'll jump for those. And finally, it is Avocado Day. Love avocados. Wish we could grow them here in Virginia. Okay, so that is the end of the month for us for food holidays. And let's not forget that on Monday night into Tuesday morning, we need to do what? I can't hear you. A little louder. We need to say rabbit, rabbit, rabbit first thing in the morning when we wake up, before we turn off our white noise generator, before we check our phone to see what atrocities occurred while we were sleeping, before we ask Alexa or Siri what the weather's like outside, just close your eyes and say rabbit, 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 and then you can go about your day. If you need to set an alarm for it, do it. Do not tell me online that you forgot to do it again. That just kills me every time. So, have a good week if you can manage it. And until next time, remember these three things. Your vote matters. A primary in my county came down to two votes. The local elections are the foundation of all the good or the evil that is done in our name at the state and federal level. So please do not skip primaries or local elections. Two, there is very real potential that UPS drivers are going to strike on August 1st, and the absolute wrecking ball to our supply chain will make the pandemic look like an everyday traffic jam. So keep that in mind if you order your medication or other important things that are delivered via UPS. Do not get caught off guard on August 1st. Someday I'll tell you about how Ben was a Teamster. Three, since we're talking about strikes, a reminder that record profits are unpaid wages. See you next week. Thank you.